Thanks very much to the worship team. In the absence of Ed and Lori, they did a pretty good job. All right, well, we have the new sister to welcome to the fellowship. Come on, Estella, stand up. Thank you, Estella. We would have had her up during the welcome, but we had so many people who were welcoming. It's just so, thank you, Estella. And she wants to give a personal thanks through me to the Newfields for sponsoring that really awesome party after church. It was great. All the out-of-town guests, really fantastic. Also, we have a picture. I think Nora's going to say a little bit more about our event yesterday. Okay. Oh, that's right. I'm supposed to forward it. Okay, great. So we had our Hope Dance Academy. Nora's going to say some more. And we didn't have like 100 kids come, but we knew we wouldn't have 100 kids come because this is something where we'd be doing it every second Saturday until Jesus comes back or we don't have developmentally disabled children needing help. I think Jesus is going to come back first before the other thing runs out. So, the plan all along was to develop a program over time. And one thing I know is, as far as the volunteers and the workers go, we're good to go. We are good to go. We could have handled 20 kids easily. And eventually we want to do a martial arts things for developmentally disabled kids as well. Great. So, by the way, I've been mentioning we're doing a series of lessons on in Christ. I mentioned that I wrote a book on it. And, well, I'm not kidding. It's an actual book. There you go. $13.99 is right. So you could probably actually buy it if you want, although I don't have copies myself yet, so it's coming. All right, so let's talk a little bit about being in Christ. This is either the last one or maybe the next last one, I don't know. I have 13 pages of notes for today's lesson, so something tells me we're probably going to have one more lesson on being in Christ. And I'll have to say, this is a pretty encouraging topic because we're talking about the amazing things we have in Christ. And, you know, like I've been saying, we weren't exactly born in Christ. And a lot of us spent more time outside of Christ than others. And some of us really messed up pretty badly. But in Christ, this is the word or words used to describe a saved person more than any other in the Bible. And we learned about the fact that when we were baptized into Christ. And we were clothed with Christ. And we put on our Christian uniform, sort of. And that's one of the things that creates that unity we have, is the fact that we have our clothing. Christ is our clothing. And we talked about the blessings we have in Christ. We have redemption in Christ. We are holy in Christ. We are made righteous in Christ. We are made alive in Christ. In Christ, we become a new creation. And like it says in Romans, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ, we are chosen by God. We are children, like it says in Galatians 3:26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. We have eternal life in Christ. We have peace with God in Christ. Outside of Christ, you're at war with God. And I'll tell you, that's a battle and a war. You're not going to win. And then we learned in the last couple of weeks that we have fullness in Christ. In Christ, we become like God. And God is renewing us every single day. We have that in Christ. And we have surpassing worth. We talked last week about the fact that Ford Motor Company said you're worth $200,000. All right? With inflation, $500,000. Okay? And we decided that science says you're worth about $3.50. All right, but according to Christ, you have surpassing worth in Christ. And then we learned, and this was one of my favorite, we learned about the fact that we're all one in Christ. And because we're in Christ, our differences fade into relative insignificance. And we talked about the fact that it's already but not yet. That God is making us into the thing that he sees us as already. And we are one in Christ. All right, so we have two or possibly three more points today, but probably only two because I have a feeling I just have too much to say. All right, so point number 15 in our series on what we have in Christ is all God's promises find their yes in Jesus Christ. You know, in Hebrews 11:13, we actually studied Hebrews earlier on this year. And it talks about the people in the Old Testament. They were still living by faith when they died, even though they did not receive the things promised. You know, God promised Abraham that he would give him the entire land. But during his lifetime, all he ever got was the cave of Machpelah. All he owned. I mean, God said, the whole thing is yours. And yet, in his lifetime, all he got was a postage stamp-sized piece of land. Because, see, the people in the Old Testament, they didn't receive the promises. Even the Jews. Jesus said about John the Baptist, Jesus said, anybody in the kingdom, anybody in Christ, is greater than John the Baptist. And I don't know about you, but I think John the Baptist is pretty great. But he didn't receive the promises. He died before Jesus died and was raised. Every promise, everything God ever intended is found in Christ. In Genesis 15:8-21, Abram was promised, to your descendants, I will give this land from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river Euphrates, from the land of the Kenites, all the way to and the Kenizzites and the Cadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites, the Rephaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. All those ites. But like I said, Abraham received only a postage stamp size piece of this promise. You can read about that in Genesis 23:7-20. In Christ, we have everything just sitting in our laps. Let's read 2 Corinthians 1:18-20. 2 Corinthians 1. We read about the promises we have fulfilled in Christ. 2 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 18. Says, but as surely as God is faithful, and do you think God is faithful? I think we can probably go with that one. As surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silas, Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken to us by the glory of God. Think about how many promises God has made. How many promises? Somebody's counted them. They're in the hundreds. I guess the number doesn't really matter. Where are his promises fulfilled? In Christ. Every single one of them. And we can claim those promises. We can claim them. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:3-4. Is that one up here? I can't remember. No. 1 Peter 1:3-4. Let's read that. It says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. All these things are held in Christ. I'm not going to preach a lot on this point. You know what I'm going to do is, I'm just going to read a bunch of promises. And I think they speak for themselves. These promises preach themselves. All right, in Exodus 19:6, this is God speaking to Israel, but it was never fulfilled in Israel. It was only fulfilled in Christ. He said, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. In Christ, we are a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Jeremiah 31:33 says, I will be their God and they will be my people. That one is covered in Christ. And these are promises in the Old Testament that were not realized in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 31:34, it says, I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more. That one is a done deal. Amen. In Christ. In Ezekiel 36:25-27, it says, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I'll put my spirit in you and I will move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. This was not fulfilled in the Old Testament. The promise was given in the Old Testament. But where is it fulfilled? It is in Christ. Outside of Christ, did you have these things? Were you a priest and a holy nation outside of Christ? Hello? Were you God's people outside of Christ? Were your sins and wickedness and evil forgiven outside of Christ? Were you sprinkled with clean water? And were you given the Holy Spirit to drink outside of Christ? No. All of these things find their yes in Christ. I just want to have a moment of silence here. We're going to look at some more promises, by the way. I just want us to think about, just spend a minute or so thinking about the promises that find their yes in Christ. What about Hebrews 13, verse 5, which is recording, remembering Deuteronomy 31, 6. It says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Our boyfriend might leave us. He might forsake us, but God will never. He will never forsake us. Your friend might leave you. Your friend might forsake you. But God will never forsake you. How about Matthew 28:20? Jesus said, surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Always. Always with you. John 11:25-26. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. Whoever lives by believing me will never die. How about that for a promise? By the way, our bodies, just so you know, this body here, this one's going to die, all right? In case you're wondering, oh, this is the church where you actually just live eternally. No, that's I don't have that promise, all right? But Jesus says, if you live and believe in me, you will never die. We will have eternal life. Did you have eternal life outside of Christ? No, you had eternal death and destruction. That's what you had. Not a good thing. I love Isaiah 54, verse 10. Are all these up there? Yeah, all right. We got a few that aren't up there. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed. That is a promise that finds its yes in Christ. And then there's practical promises. Like James 1:5, which I don't think I put up there. But there's others, all right? All right, James 1:5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all, without finding fault, will be given to you. There's a promise. How about Mark 11:24? Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you received it and it will be yours. All right. Now, there's also James 4, which says, if you ask with wrong motives, maybe you won't get it. And there's 1 John 5 that says, if you ask the things that are according to God's will, you'll have it. You know, Abraham believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. I love that passage. It's in Romans 4. says Abraham believed and was credited to him as righteousness. But what did Abraham believe? Well, what he believed is God's promises. And he believed in spite of the evidence. Not because of the evidence. He believed in spite of the evidence. Let's read Romans 4. By the way, for each of these points, I have a challenge, right? So the challenge on this one is going to come directly from the life of our father in the faith, Abraham. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. I actually preached Romans 4 earlier this year, I believe. Pretty sure I did. Okay, let's read verse 18 through 22. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. See, that's faith. Faith is believing in the promises. So I have a question. Do you believe God's promises? Do you believe that they apply to you personally and also to this group of Christians here together? Those of us who inherit the faith of Abraham will also receive all the promises that Abraham was given, even though Abraham did not receive those promises in his life. One of the promises is through him all nations will be blessed. All right? That was a great promise, and we have that in Christ. Now, to some extent, we've been talking about already but not yet, right? That when you were baptized into Christ, in some sense, these things were declared true. And yet, in another sense, they become true over time, right? God made you righteous, but you become more righteous. And then when Christ comes back, it's a done deal, right? And that's true. I believe that's true with God's promises as well. Because when we came into Christ, every one of his promises was fulfilled. And yet, and there's a sense in which, through our faith, God is able to fulfill those promises for us personally more fully and for the church as well. So here's the challenge I want to leave with you. Let us believe God's promises without wavering in unbelief so that God can deliver on his promises. All right? So to some extent, I mean, again, God said yes. Every promise is already yes. But if you fully received in your life the promises that God intends to give to you, the answer is, well, you know, I think some of it's still to come. And so we need to be like Abraham, who looked at his own body and he looked at his wife's body and he realized that common sense said it ain't happening. And Abraham believed it. He believed God. And not only was it accredited to him as righteousness, but because he believed God, it became true. Let's finish this section in 2 Corinthians 4, 13 and 14. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13 and 14. You know, we were talking about this in our campus Bible study. I think it was on Tuesday. We actually did Romans 4. And we asked the question, How do you know if you believe God's promises? And the way you know it is because you live a life that shows that you believe it. All right, you live a life because, for example, God says that I will take care of you and bless you. And then you will live a life as if you believe not that you have to take care of your situation, but as if you believe that God can actually take care of your situation. So the way we live our life explains whether we really believe the promises or not. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13 and 14. I find this very encouraging. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore we speak. because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. So, brothers and sisters, let us not waver in our faith. Let us, like Abraham, believe the promises of God. All right, point number 16 in our things about Christ is you have every spiritual blessing. Now, really, actually, this point is a summary of the first 15 points. Because what are some of the blessings we have in Christ? Well, we have righteousness. We have peace. We have secure love. We're children of God. We're all one in Christ. So, in a sense, this promise, this thing that we have in Christ, is really a summary of what I've been talking about all along. So it gives me a great chance to think about it one more time. In fact, Wednesday night, our campus group, we did a study in Ephesians chapter 1. And Ephesians chapter 1 is basically a list of the blessings that we have in Christ. Now, I want to, let's read Ephesians 1, verse 3, and then I want to make a little discussion here. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Now, where are the spiritual blessings found? In Christ. We got to get a better. All right, here we go. Where are these spiritual blessings found? In Christ. Thank you very much. You know, God is a father who wants to bless his children. Anybody in this room is a parent, you understand God on this level. Maybe not to the extent of God, but you understand God in this. You want your children to be blessed. What makes you happier, parent? What makes you happier, Pam, than seeing your children blessed? Probably not a whole lot else. Or maybe seeing Estella baptized into Christ, maybe. That's what God wants. But, you know, we're not talking about the prosperity gospel. You ever heard of the prosperity gospel? Basically, come to church and God does this and this and this and this and this for you. He does this and this and this and this for you. And he does this and this and this for you. And all you have to do is show up to church and you get all that stuff. All right? Now, it doesn't actually work that way. I preached a lesson earlier this year from Malachi where I talked about faithfulness. Remember that? The question is, do you have faith in God or are you faithful to God? And what God wants from us is summarized by a Hebrew word, hesed. Hesed is translated as love. But you know how the English word love can mean all kinds of stuff? I love my dog. I love my country. I love spaghetti. I love my mother. I love my sister. I mean, you know, so love in English has crazy amount of meaning. Hesed is a certain kind of love. It's a love that means loyalty. It's a love that means loving kindness, mercy, faithfulness, covenant love, loyal love. It's a mutual return with one another. It's sort of like a love that comes in a mutual agreement to love one another. It's kind of like the love that Ruth had for Naomi, if you know the story. Where you go, I will go. Where you rest, I will rest. Your friends will be my friends. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. It really is the love that God has for us. And what God wants from us is just to be faithful to him. It's just to trust him. Basically, what he wants from us is to treat him kind of like he treats us. And that's when the blessings come. If you study Malachi, what was happening is the people weren't being blessed by God. So what were they doing? They're complaining. They were accusing God of being unfaithful. But God never stopped being faithful. As parents, we want to bless our kids, right? But when they are rebellious, you know, when they are refusing to do the jobs we ask them to do, do we like pour a bunch of blessings out on them? No, why not? Is it because we don't want to bless them? No, it's because we do want to bless them. But we can't bless them if they're not showing chesed. If they're not living up to the end of the bargain. And so this section, we're going to learn about the fact that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. It comes in the context of chesed. It comes in the context of us expressing faithful, covenant, loyal love to God. All right, which really, if you think about it, is just common sense. If you read the book of Malachi, basically that's what God is saying. Hello, common sense says, I want to bless you, but you have to trust in me. You have to be loyal to me. Let's go to Deuteronomy 30. We're going to see a little bit about this idea that God is always like a father or like a mother, but like a father wanted to bless his people. Deuteronomy 30, it says, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you. By the way, not witnesses against you trying to get you or do something bad to you, just witnesses before you so you can clearly see it. All right? Yes. Okay. Whoop. Okay, good. It says, I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. By the way, I didn't choose this side for the death and the curses for any particular purpose. That's just, you know, one and then the other. All right, so excuse me. Should I start over again? No, then I have, yeah, it's just going to be the same thing. All right, good, good. Yeah, I could point up. All right, great, yeah. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice, hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life. He will give you many years in the land he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, basically he's saying he wants to give us blessings and life. He says, basically then, we have to love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. Well, that's a nice little laundry list of things he expects us to do. I mean, obey every single thing and love. But really, what he really wants from us is chesed. And if we give him this loving, loyal, covenant love, from his perspective, he's given us those. We've given him those things. And what are the blessings he wanted to give them? Well, let's read in verse 9. It's kind of interesting. The blessings in the old covenant were different from the blessings that we get. Verse 9. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands, and in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your land. The Lord will delight in you and make you prosperous, just as he delighted in your ancestors. So in the old covenant, the promised blessings were things like more sheep and better crop yields and children and grandchildren and peace and security. In the Old Testament, most of the blessings were physical things. The blessings that he offers us is primarily spiritual. If we go back to Ephesians 3, all right, it gives us kind of a different category of kinds of blessings that we have in Christ. Ephesians 1, verse 3, we go back there, says we have every spiritual blessing. So God has not necessarily promised you lots of sheep. All right? Or the equivalent. Are you into sheep?
No.
No, all right. You're into maybe, like, say, a nice job.
Yes.
All right? Or maybe a supportive and handsome husband.
Yes.
Or healthy children. God is not necessarily promising you those things in Christ. Now, I think he wants to give you those things as well, but he's not promising you those things. He's promising you spiritual blessings. You know what? Those spiritual blessings make the physical blessings seem almost not even important anymore. You know? And again, I believe God wants I'm pretty sure, because he's the father, he can't help it. It's like, even when your kids are messing up, you just want to bless them anyway. Sometimes you do, even when you shouldn't. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we do. It's called spoiling your kids, right? Sometimes we do that. And I'm sure, I probably God is tempted to spoil us sometimes as well. I don't really know. I can't speak for God in that. But our blessings are primarily spiritual ones. All right? God gives us the things that we actually, and I believe each of us has like a hole kind of, you know, right here. I don't know, maybe it's over here. I'm not sure exactly where it is. And that hole is not filled up by sheep. It's not even filled up by a beautiful wife. I believe it's filled up by these things: value, purpose, security, love, and hope. I believe these are the things that we have in Christ. I already talked about value. That was last week's sermon. I want to talk about purpose. I want to share a story about a lady. When I lived in Boulder, when I first lived there, I rented a room in a house up in the mountains with a lady who's a doctor. And one of the things I remember is we had a vacation. She said, "You know what? I hate vacations." I said, "You do?" She said, "Yeah, I hate vacations. Why?" "Because when I have vacations, I stop working. And when I stop working, I start thinking about my life, that my life has no meaning, and it gets me really depressed." Wow. You know what? She was one of the most honest atheists I ever knew. You know, there's this thing that looms out there. It's called death. And in light of death, a job just, I don't know, you know, just, it's nice that I got a job, but I die. You know? It's nice to have friends, but then you die. You know, and really, my friend, she was, I believe she was a gynecologist. She worked at the university in the clinic helping mainly women. Actually, her job really did have some purpose. And I believe we do have value outside of Christ. I even said that last week, right? All right? And yet, ultimately, she realized that in the big scheme of the universe, her life had no meaning, no purpose. How demoralizing. You know, it's kind of like Solomon. Solomon, he did the experiment, so you don't need to waste your time. Solomon had more stuff than anybody in this room will ever have. He had more accomplishments than anybody in this room will ever have. He had more praise and honor from human beings than anybody in this room will ever have. And do you remember what he concluded at the end of all of it in Ecclesiastes? He said, "Meaningless, meaningless." Wow! How depressing! But outside of Christ, life is meaningless. Meaningless. What a spiritual blessing we have. A life with eternal consequences. We are building something here, just this little group of Christians right here in Bakersfield. We're building something that has eternal consequences. Meaning. We're offering up the opportunity for eternal life and for a fulfilled life. Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it to the full." Full life. That's what we have in Christ. Having a full life, which is based on, it's a spiritual blessing, it's not a physical blessing, that is something that fulfills that need. Another need that we have, I believe, is for security, for a sense of safety. All of us needs that. You know, if you hear about the conflict zones, there are places like Syria, Afghanistan, Central Africa. If you ask the people there, what do you want and what do you need, they won't tell you what we need is food and clothing. What they'll tell you is that they need security. Because without security, you can't function. You can't live. Because basically, in a place like Syria, in these zones, people are physically alive, all right? But without security, they can't even live. But Jesus said, take heart, I've overcome the world. In Romans 8, 31 and 32, it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those who God has chosen? You know what? I can't be blackmailed. A lot of the people you live around, man, they're just hoping nobody finds out. In fact, remember when you were living that way? Remember before you were a Christian, you were living that way? I just hope nobody finds out who I really am and what I really did. But in Christ, bring it on. All right, so you want to say that I committed lust. Well, I confessed that just last week, you know? I mean, in Christ, we have security. We have a safe place. Because number one, we've been forgiven of those two things. And number two, if you're a Christian, you've already admitted those things to somebody. Right? That's why we have those one another relationships. As a Christian, what can man do to me? Like I said earlier, I was in Nigeria last year, and that guy with the machine gun, protecting me from being, killed. But I'm thinking, well, what's the worst thing they could do to me? They could kill me. Okay. I get to go to heaven. That's not such a bad thing. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. We have security. A safe place. This place right here is safe. Is the church a safe place? I'd say it's 97% safe, honestly. Because we're not perfect. Who here has been a Christian for at least 15 years has been hurt by somebody in the church? Raise your hand. All right. So we're about a 97% safe zone, okay? Let's be honest about it, okay? But in Christ, in God's hands, you are perfectly safe. Jesus promised it. In John 14, 2, he said, in my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. And he says, I am going there to prepare a place for you. God is building an addition on the heavenly home designed for you. All right? And Josh is going to have video games. All right? And I don't know, whatever thing. It's going to have places to go hunting, Alan. Yeah, absolutely. Right there in that home. And you can shoot, and it won't even matter. Whatever. I don't know. Our eternal home is already being prepared for us. We can take risks. In fact, that's my challenge. All right? One of my challenges is, therefore, if you have security, you can take risk. Okay, next. Oops. All right. Next, we have love. We have intimate, loving relationships. Now, it's not like we had no love outside of Christ. We had some love. Come on, let's be honest. It's not like the world is completely without love. There's love out there. But in Christ, we have it in great measure. Because we confess our sins to one another. Because we pray for each other. Because Philippians 2, 3, and 4, we look not only to our own interests, but also to the interest of one another. We have breadth and depth of love. Last thing I want to mention in this category is I want to talk about hope. All right. Another thing we have in Christ is hope. Outside of hope, what did you hope in?
Oh, I hope I have enough money.
Yeah. I'm hoping I get through the day.
Right.
I'm hoping that the IRS does not send me a letter. You ever gotten a letter from the IRS? I have. One of the times it was a total mistake. The other time it was actually I owed him money. But it was an honest mistake. I mean, what do we have to hope in this world? That our bodies will get better and better and stronger and stronger? Chris? No? Trust Chris. He'll tell you it doesn't work that way. What hope does the world offer? That the Rams will win the NFL title? Do you remember who won the NFL championship back in 1991? There's weird people here who know that stuff. In Christ, we have hope. And hope is not like the hope in the dictionary where I hope it'll happen. You know, hope is confident expectation of something in the future. Good example of this is from Harold Abrams. 1924 Olympics. I'm getting this from the movie Chariots of Fire, remember? Da, 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 da. Yeah. What it was is, there were two guys. Eric Liddell, who was the number one 100-meter sprinter in the world, and the number two sprinter was Abrams, his friend. And because one of the competitions was on Sunday, Eric Liddell, very, very committed, although maybe false doctrine, but don't worry about that. Christian, he believed that he couldn't run on Sunday. And so he gave up his place to his Jewish friend, Abrams. And so Abrams ran in the 1924 100-meter run in the Olympics, and he got the gold medal. But that's not the story. The story is that night afterward, Eric is trying to find his friend and congratulate him and all that kind of stuff, and he couldn't find him because they're having a party for him. And he wasn't there at the party. And so he found him in a bar, depressed and drunk. Why? Because he'd realized his hope, which was to win a gold medal in the Olympics. So now what? You know, what's left for him? You know, his glory days had already arrived. And he was probably like 23 years old. There is no hope in this world outside of Christ. In Christ we have hope. We have an enduring, confident expectation of eternal life. Like we already read, Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies." Isn't that the definition of hope? Isn't that the definition? Truly we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. So I definitely do not have time for point number three, which, by the way, is about the mystery. And so since you have to wait for a whole week, the mystery will be a mystery. All right? So let me leave you with a challenge. Okay, we have every promise fulfilled in Christ. Therefore, let's believe the promises and claim them. We have every spiritual blessing in Christ. But remember that the blessing, although we already have it in one sense, in another sense, we're still receiving it based on our faith, based on chesed, based on covenant loyalty, based on the fact that God is allowed to bless us because we let him bless us, because we trust and put our faith in him. Let us embrace chesed. Let us have a loyal covenant love for God so he can do what he wants to do, which is to give us every spiritual blessing in Christ. Thank you very much.
A short video and pictures of Pope Worldwide. I know we can't stop talking about it, but here it goes.